Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you. Live your life in the reality of His power and be all His Word says you can be.
Very warm introduction. And I'd like to thank your pastors for... Thank you, pastors, for inviting me for this meeting. They are good people. They are good people with good hearts. God bless you. Thank you very much for doing what you did. Amen and amen. All right. And that was very powerful. Let the rivers flow. Very powerful. It almost changed what I wanted to teach. But I said, let me stay with what I want to teach. All right, then. Amen. All right, this evening I want to teach on the subject of faith for 60 minutes. And I want to, faith in itself, I want to make it very simple and clear. So that in the application of it into your life, it will be clear to you what exactly you are doing. There are different dimensions to the faith teaching, but what I want to stay with this evening is what I will call the, I don't want to sound too theological, but the prophetic dimension to faith. And we have that in Romans chapter 12 and verse 6. It says that, Romans 12 and verse 6, it says, let him, now, Romans 12, 6. Yeah, that's correct. Romans 12, 6. Having therefore gifts that differ according to the grace which is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. So it talks about the nature of faith being prophetic. Prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. In verse 3, it had said that for God has dealt, Romans 12, 3, to every man the measure, or according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Then in verse 6, it says, let every man therefore prophesy according to that measure of faith that they have received. So faith in us wants to prophesy. And when faith prophesies, that's when the rivers of living water begin to flow out. Well, let's start from the beginning. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 defines what faith is. It tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, and that faith is also the evidence of things that are not seen. Two things: faith is the substance of things hoped for, and faith is the evidence of things that are not seen. The Moffat translation says, faith is giving substance to the things that you hope for, or substantiating the things that you hope for. What does it mean to give substance to things that you hope for? Let's say I have a dream that I want to build a house. And I have the type of house that I want to build, and it's a dream that is on the inside of me. And every single day I tell people, you know, one day I'm going to build a house. The house is going to be this way. The house is going to be that way. One day I'm going to build a house. The house is going to build this way. Now, I can keep saying that for the next 20 years and for the rest of my life, and that house will materialize. Now, I want to make some adjustments here. Now, many of us think that our talking about something is confessing faith. I can say that thing for the rest of my life and it will materialize. Until I begin to give substance to that dream. What does it mean to give substance to that dream? One day I get up and I say, I'm going to do something about this house that I've dreamt about. So I go and find out, how much does it cost to buy land? I've never done that in the past. I've just been talking about it. They tell me the amount. I take out all the money I've spent in the last 4 years. I realize that if I make an adjustment on the way in which I spend my disposable income, I will be able to make a deposit on this land and I'll be able to buy it within 2 years. So I change the way I spend my disposable income. That change, I've started giving substance. Do you get what I'm saying? I've started substantiating what I'm hoping for. I get an architect, he draws out the house. I look at the plan. I've started giving substance. So faith is always an action that you take to bring about the realization of that dream that is on the inside of you. We'll get to that later. That's why it says, by faith, Abraham departed. By faith, Noah built an ark. Every time he talked about faith in Hebrews 11, you could see some action that was taken by the individual who was expressing that faith in obedience to what God said to that person. Now, but before we get to that, let's lay the foundation right. What is hope? If faith is giving substance to the things that we hope for. Now, many of us think that hope is our desire. In other words, or the aspirations that we have. So let me say this to you. Liverpool is playing tomorrow. I desire with all of my heart that Liverpool will win, but I have no guarantee from God. Do you get what I'm saying here? I can be shouting, they win. I'm just talking. Do you get what I'm saying here? I have no guarantee from God. Because the people in Real Madrid too can be saying that we are anointed people too. We are praying. So on whose side is God? Now, I want us to, you see, listen to this. I want to take people out of unnecessary disappointments. Hope is not your desire. But your desire is the beginning of something. Your desire indicates inside what God has deposited on the inside of you. But it's not yet what the Bible calls hope. Your aspirations is not what the Bible calls hope, but is something that God has deposited that needs clarification. Now, if somebody here desires that pastor should give him 10,000 naira this evening, you just desire it. And you go home. Tomorrow morning you wake up. Pastor did not give me 10,000 naira. Then you call him and say, I'm very disappointed in you, pastor. You say, why? Because he did not give me 10,000 naira. And he says, did you ever tell me about 10,000 naira? You say, no, but this is how we do with God. But you should have given me 10,000. Now, that is your desire. Now, what is hope? If, as he's going out, you say, pastor, I need 10,000 naira. And he says, come tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. to collect it. It is no longer your desire. It is an expectation based on his promise. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hope is an expectation about your future based on something God told you. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, when you come tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., when he's leaving and you held him, you begged him for the 10,000. When he tells you come tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., he's indebted to you. Because he's given his word. Which means the responsibility of getting 10,000 is now on him and not on you. So how do you get biblical hope? And I'll show it. Biblical hope comes When God creates an expectation in your heart about your future based on something he said to you in response to a desire you communicated to him. Or something he says to you in response to a situation that is in your life that you carried to him and he told you this is what he is going to do. And then an expectation, which means God is saying, I am now indebted to you concerning this. So what we call the rhema, you know, we just say, once you get the rhema, you have faith. No. What the rhema produces first is hope. Which means when you hear from heaven on something and God shows you what he wants to do. And let me tell you this. People fail because they don't carry their matter to God at the beginning. Take the issue to God. God has something to say. He said there is a hope and a what? Future. Or unexpected end. Until you communicate to God, God, alright, is quote and unquote not aware, so to speak, of what is actually going on. You have to talk to him about it. That's why even the man that refused to forgive, it was the fellow servants that went to report to God what he was doing, that God now said, there's a problem here. So you have to talk to God. So Psalm 119 and verse 49, it says, remember thy word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This has been my comfort in my affliction, for thy word has quickened me. Psalm 119 and verse 49. It says, remember thy word and promise to your servant, in which you have caused me to do what? Hope. So, tomorrow morning, when you call pastor, what you will say? I want to remind you of the promise you made to me. Do you get what I'm saying? It's no longer I desire 10,000, but I'm reminding you of what you said, that I should come at 10 a.m. today. So what the word of God does is first of all to produce hope. In other words, if you are in a situation that you think, all right, there is no way out, God will speak to you and give you hope. The Bible says that we are not without hope. There is no situation, no matter how bad it is, God has a way out. It says, with every temptation, there's a way out. And you see, when you communicate your desires to God, God expands it. Look, if somebody says, I have an idea, and goes to meet the richest man in Nigeria, I have an idea, and it will fetch 50 million naira. He's not interested in 50 million naira business. But if the idea resonates with him, then you know what he does? He says, wait a minute. Calls his PA. You remember that guy that came from Brazil last week, that said he wanted to do something in South America and in the whole of Africa? This guy might be a good guy to partner with him. What you came with 5 million naira or 50 million naira, by the time he, with all his network, carries the network into it, it becomes a global business. When you take your desire to God, God takes his entire resources in heavens and earth and turns that prayer into something that is abundantly, exceedingly, abundantly above what you ask or what think. The promise that God will always make to you in response to your desire is beyond anything that you can do you get what I'm saying? That's why Abraham went to meet God. He said, give me a child. God said, he's a father of many nations I've made thee. He was talking about somebody to take his inheritance. God was talking about, he says, in your seed shall all the families of all the earth be blessed. God always takes that little thing and expatiates it. We toiled all night and caught nothing, led to apostles. Any small movement in your life where there's disorder, take it to God. You will see that that was where the breakthrough. Listen, don't just try to handle issues yourself. Take the matter to God. There is nothing that is hopeless. And anytime there's any movement, all right, in your life, and you go to God in prayer, it means you are out of alignment with the grand plan of God. And he wants to bring you to alignment with it. So you ask, how then do I hear from heaven? This is what you do. When you pray, stay in prayer, praying in the spirit, until you hit the gusher. You know the gusher. Where you are praying and you get a release in tongues. And stay there when you get that release. Immediately after that time of prayer, go and open your Bible. Don't let there be a distance between when you prayed and when you read the Bible. Do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody, E.M. Bounce, the old prayer warrior, said, to have prayed well is to have studied well. If you don't pray through, if they give you the Bible, you won't see anything. Once you have prayed through and keep the gusher, you say, then where do I read? Just go to where you understand. If you don't understand Leviticus, leave it. If you don't understand Revelation, it's to have, leave it. If you don't understand Ephesians 2, leave it. Which one do you know? Genesis, stay there. God will show you the promise from any part of the Bible. But don't let there be a distance between the time in which you pray. Because why am I saying this? Because when you just finish praying is when the Holy Spirit has the greatest influence over your mind. Because he says, continue being filled with the Spirit and don't be drunk with wine. In other words, he talked about being filled with the Spirit as a type of wine. If a person drinks alcohol today, all right, in the morning, and waits till the evening, the effect of the alcohol does what? Wanes. So while your mind is charged, open the scriptures. 30 minutes of reading the Bible that way will fetch you more than 3 hours outside the influence of the Spirit. What is the prayer? Ephesians chapter 1. Give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of my understanding may be what? Enlightened, that I may know what? The hope. So God opens the eyes of your heart so you may know the hope. Quickly again. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 11. Just look at the interplay of the word promise and the word hope. Now, because you have to get this, because this is the starting point. What many people feel is that it's desire. Do you get what I'm saying here? Now, I love Liverpool. I want us to win tomorrow. But, my friend, I don't have any promise. So are you watching the match? No, because I can't let my heart be going up and down. Because there's no anchor to my soul. My soul is free for all. And I have church on Sunday. And it says, guard your heart with all. So what will you do when the match starts? Sleep. When it's time for it, I wake up. And I check. We have won. Then I post. Say, Pastor, I mean, you must have been tense. Which tense? Last time when we won the FA Cup, I was preaching. When I finished, they waved, said, Pastor, you won. They put it on the screen. You won. I said, you won. I said, then let me greet people. Hebrews 6 from verse 11. Just look at the interplay of promise. Now, it says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of what? Hope unto the end. Now, look at the interchange between hope and promise. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the what? Promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, use the word promise, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, that in blessing shall I bless thee, and in multiplying shall I multiply thee. And he says, and so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the word promise. Then he talks about, for men verily swear by greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. For God willingly, more abundantly, to show to the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the word hope. All right? Hope that is what sets before us. You can see it's now hope. It was promise, it's now hope. Look at what it says next. It says, which hope we have as an anchor to our soul, both sure and steadfast, and enters within the veil whither the forerunner is given. So, here's, I want to quickly share something. Once God gives you the promise, he says, don't do anything about trying to fulfill it, come into the veil. If you try to do something about it, by yourself, without coming in first, you can cause crisis. Moses got that he was to help the children of Israel. Instead of him going to God within the veil, he tried to do it by himself, and he extended that promise for another 30 years. Do you get what I'm saying? When Daniel understood by books whereof the year was 70 years, what did he do? He went in. What did Moses do? He didn't go in, he went out. Do you get what I'm saying? And when he went out, the same staff that he used to kill, thinking that that's how to do it, when he finally went in and saw God within the veil, and he says, you are standing on holy ground, that rod he was carrying that thought was nothing was what he used to part the Red Sea. Because you know what happens? We won't have time to get there today. But when you go within the veil, remember the scripture says that their minds were blinded, for until this day there's a veil over their minds. When you go within the veil, when you go within with the promise, the veil over your mind concerning it is removed. Once it is removed, you understand how that thing will come to pass. You see, anything people say is impossible, there's nothing that is impossible. What people are simply saying is, I don't understand how it happened. There is nothing that is what? Impossible. I mean, if they told us 30 years ago, I mean, some of you may not have participated in this, that, let's say when it was time to post letter to America, you're applying for, let's say, a school in America, you will write the letter, you will take her, you put it together, you do it. If it doesn't work, you make Eba, put it, and seal it. Then you walk to the post office box and drop it, and wait for whenever you will get, it can be 8 weeks, 6 weeks. If somebody told you, a time is coming where you send a letter to America and within 1 minute you'll get the response. You say, I can't. It will go in the air, in a cloud. Which cloud? Where will we write it? Where people are still doing typewriter. You say, they'll tell, what are you saying? Now today, you send something. What's going on? This thing is not going quickly. You are complaining. 5 minutes. This thing is slow. Back then, I'm trying to tell you, what you are saying is impossible today can be something you are saying in the next 5 years. Do you get what I'm saying here? It is not that that information was created by God. It's that the veil was removed off the minds of people. Because everything that we are using now to cross the internet was on the earth before, but it was veiled. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you take your promise within, the veil is what? Removed. Christians should be the most intelligent people. You should go into a meeting at work and start talking, and they say, what manner of man is this? Where did you get this information? On veiled face. The frustration of confession with the veil being on is you walking. I'm going to get into it. Walking and saying, God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in glory. Which you are correct. God shall supply. This is the promise you have. God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. God shall supply. Now you're walking because you're in a marriage feast. The wine has finished and you're pacing in desperation. God will supply all of my need according to his riches in glory. Now, the pots that God intended to use, alright, if the veil is removed, that fill the pots with water. The water is there, the pot is here, but because your mind is veiled, you're saying God will supply all of my need according to his riches and glory. Then you remember somebody's testimony. Maybe somebody will bring it from somebody who's just walking now with the wine. And you say, the pots God wants you to say, please, can you pack these pots away? Move it away, it's disturbing my confession. Do you get what I'm saying? Because the veil is there. If the veil is there, they'll bring 5 loaves to you to an idea. You say, what is this among so many? Take it aside. We are talking about 200 penny worth. You are bringing 5 loaves. Are you following what I'm saying? everything you are believing for is accessible. And it's not expensive. You know, one day, something God told me, said, listen, wait, I said to you, why do you spend money for that which is not bread and labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me. He said, when you're spending too much money, you didn't hear me well.
Yes.
Do you get what I'm saying? When a man said, I don't have capital. That's when they came to meet Jesus. They said, Jesus, 200 penny. The amount, he said, Jesus said, look, we don't need, he knew what he was going to do. You know why? The veil has been removed. So what we don't want is to get to heaven. And then you go and meet God and say, God, but I was believing for something, what happened? And then he removes the veil. You see that conversation you had over there? That person was saying something to you, you should have deduced, but your mind was veiled. Who is as blind as my messengers and deaf as my servants? Seeing many things. Do you get what I'm saying? I tell them inside church, the pastors of our church, that when we are praying for anything, listen to everybody, including children. You don't know where God is bringing it from. You know what happens? We pray. God answers and comes to us. God help you. That veil is not there. You know what will happen? They were praying for the release of Peter. The Bible says they were praying without what? Season. So the apostles and the church were gathered. Mege, lengretoso, dangerous tongues. And Peter came out and came to the gate where they were praying and knocked and rode ahead, a young lady. Heard the voice of Peter and ran in to tell the people who were groaning in the spirit that your prayer has been answered. And they told her that, listen, you are out of your mind. The answer to your prayer can come if the veil is on. The suggestion will look like madness to you. God is not hard. He's in the atmosphere all around. Do you get what I'm saying? He's everywhere. Then she was affirming it or so. They said to her, then it's his ghost you saw, since you are so sure. You see, when God opens your eyes to see the promise, let me say this to you. Please hear what I'm about to say. When you are walking by faith, you are walking by sight. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying to shock you. When you are walking by faith, you are walking by sight. It's just a sight of a better kind. You are not looking to the things that are seen, but you are looking to the things that are not seen. Because the eyes of your understanding has been opened. Listen, whatever God promises you, he presents the evidence to you. Do you know what that is? It is the evidence of things not seen, which means he shows you the evidence. So it is logical to you once you get revelation. See, if there was a way into this hall from the back here, and only me came in through this way, and out that back at that place, there was a big green car there, and I came in through this place, and every other person came in through other places, and I said there's a green car outside. Everybody says, no. We didn't see any green car. There's no green car outside. Alright? You can't change my mind because I saw it. What you are saying doesn't affect me because I saw it. Now, I just know you didn't see what I saw because you came through another way. So a person whom the Holy Spirit has opened their eyes looks at other people that say they can't walk. That's why Noah could be building an ark. When everybody was laughing at him, he saw it. It was effortless. He knew that the flood was coming. Nobody else knew about the flood, but he saw it. So when you go to God in prayer, he opens your eyes to see. And the evidence is there. Now, if somebody told me there was a green car outside, but I didn't see the green car myself. Once multitudes of people say there's no green car, I am left to believe in what the majority is saying. So this thing is beyond hearing. That's why he said, don't be hearers only, but you must become seers. For he says, become doers. He says, for whosoever hears, looks at himself, forgets what manner of man is. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, looking. We all with an open face. That veil has been removed. Do you get what I'm saying? Alright, so the first thing, you get that. And let me just give you two examples here. People in hopeless situations. I'm trying to say, don't ever in your life, wherever you find yourself for the rest of your life on this earth, ever say to yourself or say to anybody, there's no way out. Don't ever say it cannot work. Don't ever, listen to what I'm saying, it is impossible. Don't ever say it. All things are possible. Now, let me just quickly show communication of hope. Mark chapter 5, verse 26 to 28. Let me just use that one. Quickly. It says, from verse 25, let's start from 25. It says, and a certain woman who had an issue of blood 12 years, that's her condition, had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. I mean, this was an hopeless situation. When she heard of Jesus, she heard something that gave her hope. When you go to God in prayer and you hear from Him concerning it, He always gives you hope. Now, the Bible says she came behind the press, I want to show something, and touched the hem of His garment. For she said, if I will just touch the hem of His garment, I shall be made whole. And the Bible tells us in verse 29, and straightway the fountain of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body she was healed of that plague. Jesus said, who hath touched me? Virtue and power has left me. And Peter, who didn't see what that woman saw, but was an apostle. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sight is superior. Is what you see. When they came to meet Jesus, they said, no man can do these things except God be with him. Jesus said, except you are born again, you cannot see. We got born again to see. A prophet is not a speaker. A prophet is a seer. Anybody can say, the distinction comes whether you saw. It is not in the confession, but in the revelation. And when you see, God takes a scripture that you never saw that way and shows you something. There's a woman who they were going to amputate her foot. That's why I said anywhere in the Bible, God can show you. You don't need to be reading healing scriptures to get revelation on healing. It's everywhere. Once your eyes are open, you see it everywhere. Everywhere. The woman, they were going to amputate her leg. She went to God, God, I don't want this to happen. Communicated it to God. She opened the Proverbs she was reading, and the scripture says, the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall not suffer your foot to be taken. What did that one give her? Hope. Now, so what do you do with the hope? Quickly. Because we said, don't try to act on the hope. Go within the veil. Are you following what I'm saying here? If God gives you a project, the project will be, listen to me, when He gives it to you, what will come to your mind is, how can these things be? So what you're going to do is to go within the veil. In other words, to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and to His courts with praise for the fulfillment of that thing, even though you don't know how it will happen. You start praising and thanking God. Praising and thanking God has been accepted fully, for the promise He has made has been accepted by God as the first, and in some cases, only corresponding action that you need to cause what he has said to materialize. But it's always the first. The second, he says, hold fast your confidence and rejoicing of hope. That word confidence is hold fast in the book of Hebrews, because of time, let me just say it. It says, hold fast your profession. That word profession there means hold fast your saying the same thing as God. So two things you do. You begin to confess what God said to you. Now, this is not yet prophesying. This is an affirmation of what you believe, testifying to a truth that you know. I'll explain it. And you are confessing it. Alright? I declare. And you are declaring it. And rejoicing and praising God. Listen, I think it was Reverend Mark Hankins, my friend, that said, when any person is in any situation, what God gives is mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. When he wants to resuscitate you, it's mouth-to-mouth. What do we mean by mouth-to-mouth? Anything God tells you must get on your own lips for it to work in your life. Listen to what I'm saying. It says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. Is with your mouth you eat. That's the same way you eat the word of God. The target of God's word is your lips. Let me show you. Hebrews chapter 13, quickly, and verse 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and verse 6. Now, listen to what it says. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Listen to this. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let's read that place again. For he hath what? Said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Next verse. So that we may boldly say. Which means God said that you may boldly say. All the saids of God in scripture is that you may boldly say today. Do you get what we're saying? Now, if you read it well, it says, what did the Lord say? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Alright? That we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. Which means what was said was not exactly what God said in the letter, but in the spirit is the same. Do you get what I'm saying? In other words, once you get a revelation, you bring that revelation into the context of your own life. So let's say this kind of scripture, somebody was threatening somebody at work and said, let me tell you this, it goes a bit again. If you don't sleep with me, I will sack you from this place. You'll not get your salary again. And he says, the Lord says, I will never leave you nor forsake thee. Then he tells the person, Lord, I said I will never leave nor forsake me, that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I do not fear what man shall do unto me. And please, if you are in that kind of situation, this is how you handle it. You get the word from God and look at the man eyeball to eyeball. Don't move. Don't look down. This is spiritual warfare. Look straight inside your eye and say, I'm telling you that, listen, this is not going to happen. You can make your decision. Look at me. But I have a God who sustains me and fights my battle for me. You have a right to sack. You can sack. But I will tell you, your sack will lead to my promotion in life. So please write the sack letter, looking eyeball to eyeball. He will tell someone, that girl now witch. Because it is spiritual warfare. Listen to me. Don't shake. It says, this hope you have as an anchor to your soul, both what? Sure and what? Steadfast. Look at Psalm 13. Let me just show you this. Don't shake. Don't start crying. Sir, you see, I don't know. I'm a born again Christian. It's not my choice. Look, once you show weakness, you become a victim. This world is a wicked place. They don't show compassion for weakness. Look at what it says. No, Psalm 13 verse 3. And I'll tell you something. 13:3. Quickly. 13:3. It says, Consider and hear me, O Lord, lighten my eyes, lest I sleep. Alright. 13:3, Psalm. Consider and hear me, O Lord, lighten my what? Eyes. That's the thing we are saying. Lest I sleep the sleep of what? Death. Now look at the next verse. Lest my enemy, next verse, say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am what? Moved. Just the movement. See, a minister friend of mine was a Roman, and he said they went hunting with a friend of his. He said it was like a waste of time. Because they were there for midnight, no animal came out. And they were there waiting. They painted their faces, painted everything. No animal came. At around 5 a.m., this friend just got up. A minister too. And I think I know who he was talking about. And he looked at that. Then the minister said to him, raise your gun, focus, the animal is about to come out. Lo and behold, the animal came out. He said, fire. He said, what happened? So at the end, he said, what was that? He said, that's the sound, that animal feeds on a particular prey. But when that prey is captured in a trap, it makes that kind of sound. And that tells that animal that that smaller animal is in trouble and is weak. And therefore, you can take it easily. He said, so I made that sound. He said, and God told him, that's why I brought you here. There are sounds you make that demons know you are weak. You think that there are sounds that will bring sympathy from people, but you are throwing blood for sharks and they will come out. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I say, we'll feed on this one. That's why the Bible says, when they told him to come and curse the prophet, he said, there is no divination, no enchantment. He says, listen, he says, because the shout of the Lord is in their midst. Once there's a shout of victory, Satan says, leave with one. Didn't you hear what Paul said? When he said, a messenger of Satan came that was buffeting me. He said, for this I besought the Lord thrice that he might depart. He said, God said, you didn't move. My grace is sufficient. He says, now I take pleasure. I rejoice. That's why he says, count it all joy. Because once you start rejoicing, Satan says, this one's they have signed. Let's go and look for somebody else. This one. Really. This one that we came to attack that is rejoicing. Isn't that what David knew? He was fasting and praying. The child died. Everybody was going into depression. David started worshiping and praising. Changed his raiment. Started looking happy. Let me tell you this. Don't be wearing garments of mourning for too long. You see, people that come to greet you, sorry. People like people that are weak like that. Sorry. After some time, tell them I'm okay. Do you understand what I'm saying? David changed his garment. They came to meet him. Ah, we are here to come and mourn. He says, well, boy, mourn what? He said, if I go to the child won't come back to me again. But Sheba, let's go back. We will get... Solomon came out. He solved the problem of death with another child. I'm not here to teach relationship. But if any man breaks your heart, you know, they say you should wait. God told me one day, he said, tell them. As through one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. By one man's obedience, many shall be made righteous. If one man broke your heart, he's sending another man to heal your heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? And don't stay there and be saying, it is rebound. You are on a rebound. You are not on a rebound. You say, you have to wait and suffer. Be crying there. Yeah, it's a rebound relationship. Are you sure you're not on a rebound? Are you sure you're not a victim? You say, it's a rebound. Let me just also say this, because I'm not supposed to, but let me just say this here. Please, number two. Listen, I'm giving you, there are many men here, but I'm giving you ladies the secret. If any man starts withdrawing from you, don't start calling him. You understand? Like, well, hello? Why are you not calling? No, stop calling. If he stops calling, stop calling. Do you understand what I'm saying? If he's busy, you two are what? Busy. Do you get what I'm saying here? That is when he will make up his mind whether he wants you for life or not. But if you keep showing beggarly, you will weaken yourself. You know what God said? Draw nigh unto me, and I will do what? Move away from me, and I will do what? Move away from you. So his confession, because sometimes we need healing, is so you see it, then you start rejoicing. This is where I'm going with this. And then, no, seriously, and then you start confessing the word. Now, but that confession is not prophesying. Now, we have thought that confession is what is called the confession of faith. He says, let everybody prophesy according to their what? Proportion of faith. Anytime Jesus talks about faith speaking, it is giving an instruction to something. It is commanding something on the outside to respond in a certain way. It is not an affirmation of what you believe. I will explain. That's why Jesus in his public ministry on the outside, and these are the rivers of living water flowing out. When there was a storm, he didn't say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He said to the storm, peace be still. He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard, you will say to this mountain, be thou removed. The affirmation, confession of what he has shown you, which is affirming what you believe, is needed so that you get to the point where you can prophesy. Let me give you an example. When Jesus was going to raise Lazarus, it was warfare. As he got there, they said he was dead. If you were here, he would not have died. Jesus had to make the affirmation to steady himself. I am the resurrection and the life. Do you get what I'm saying? He was in warfare, affirming things for himself. They went again. People started saying, oh, he loved him. Oh, he loved him. If he was here, why did he allow him to die? He was saying, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Then he prayed. He said, Father, I thank thee because you hear me always. I'm saying this. After he prayed, nothing happened. Until he said, Lazarus, come forth. Prophesying your faith is saying to Lazarus, come forth. I am the resurrection and the life will not solve your problem. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world will not cause the devil to move. But it will stabilize you towards that. You know how many Christians are missing it? We are calling that confession the confession of faith, the prophetic. That's what it's not prophesying. So we don't talk to things. Now let me tell you why the affirmation is so important. And you must have a constant affirmation. Remember the scripture says that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He staggered not at the promise of God. Okay? To stagger means you see something on the outside and then you stagger. That means you entered unbelief concerning it. Okay? That's what happened to Peter. He was walking on water. When he saw the wind that was boisterous, he staggered and fear came and he began to sink. You get what I'm saying? Now, so when he saw the wind, he should have had something he would say to himself to stabilize himself. Now, the woman with the issue of blood, okay, that scripture says, for she said, if I will just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Now, the way it reads in Greek is she kept saying within herself as she was going, if I will touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. If I will touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Now, please understand this. You know why she had to keep saying it so that she doesn't stagger. Why? What would have made her stagger? When Jesus was there, she was looking at him. Sick people were touching Jesus. Nothing was happening. People with conditions were touching Jesus. How do we know that? Because when Jesus said, somebody has touched me, Peter said, what are you saying? Are all these people not thronging on you? In other words, Even Peter, the ranking apostle, didn't know what that woman had seen. But she kept saying it. You know, one day I was in South Africa, and a doctor came to see somebody who was on our team. He said he was swaying. He wanted to fall. He was like, what's going on? So the doctor did three tests. He said, well, I tested the heart, I tested the brain, and I tested the inner ears. He said, the person is okay, don't worry. So he started explaining. He now got to the inner ears, and revelation just hit me like, he said, you know what? The outer ear is for hearing. The inner ear is for balance. Now, when the inner ear is destroyed, then that person cannot walk straight. They will go like that. And then God said, I told God, I've seen it. I've seen it. Have you ever recorded your voice and played it back to yourself? You know you sound different. You know you sound different. You don't like the way you sound. Aha. Okay? I'm just saying. If you play my message in the car, I always say put it off. Is that how I sound? You know why? When you talk, you hear with your inner ear. When others talk, you hear with your outer ear. Remember, your inner ear affects your walk. Your outer ear is just for hearing. So if I say to you, you are a failure, you hear with your inner ear. If you say, I am a failure, you hear with, if I say you are a failure, you hear with your outer ear. If you say, I am a failure, you hear with your inner ear. It is what you say that affects your walk. What I say, you hear with the outer ear. Now, hold this here. Here is the problem. If you go and report me to pastor and said, Pastor, what you said, I'm a failure, you hear with your inner ear. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. Remember I showed you, God said that you may say. Satan says that you may say. So long as you don't repeat it, it doesn't affect you. If they say you can't make it, that's your problem. You are hearing it with your own inner ear. It's you it is affecting. Me, I have never said I won't make it. And don't ever say another person will not make it. Because if you say that, what you are saying to yourself is the day I'm in this situation, I will fail. So the woman with the issue of blood knew that when I enter in and I touch, my own case will be different. In other words, 1,000 might fall on my left, 10,000 on my right. How does that happen? The technology, for want of words behind it, is you have never said with your own mouth or repeated it to anybody that that experience can ever affect you. That's why I don't let people provoke you to start saying things. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes, now, let me tell you this. Remember, it tells us, by your words you'll be condemned. It says, every idle word you speak, you'll give account in the day of judgment. The day of judgment is not the final day where God will now say, come. You're in heaven now. Oh yeah. Sit down. In 1999. You see what it says? The day of judgment is the day of prayer. For when you go to pray, they went to the judge. Which means everything you have been saying. Remember when the woman came and she taught Jesus was her point of contact. When you make contact in prayer, what comes out of God to you is what you have been saying. That's why God told Moses. Moses said, forgive them. God says, I've forgiven. This has nothing to do with me. Tell them, as long as I live, whatsoever I hear them say, that is what they will get. The two spies that didn't say it, didn't experience it, is your words you use to determine your experience with God. So God gives you His word so that you can, with your inner ear, start hearing what He's saying. Are you following what I'm saying? So that when you go into the place of prayer to make contact with Him, it is the effect of your words. Please don't forget what God said. God swore to Abraham. He didn't say, we don't have time, Numbers 14. He didn't say, I am going to give. He said, I've given them the land. When Moses came, he said, I swore unto their fathers, I have given them. He said, but they will know the breach of my promise. They will know what it means for me to break my promise. He said, for tell them, as long as I live, whatsoever I hear you say, that is, the reason why I give you a promise is that you should start saying it. For it is not the will of God that necessarily comes to pass in your life, but it is what you are saying that will come to pass. But the will of God, he gives it to you so that you can start saying it, so that the will of God can do what? Come to pass. Please, is there any medical student or doctor? Any medical person? Any? Yeah. If they are willing a patient and you are going to treat the patient, don't treat people as spiritual. I go to my, and Ben says, I will die in your hands. I will die. Will you touch the patient? Say, I will die in your hands. I will die in your hands. You will just say, please, please. There's, people are what? Spiritual. People are spirit. Man is a spirit being. So two people can go into prayer with the same promise. But one was faithful to confessing it, even when they said, things are very bad, but they held on to the confession. Do you get what I'm saying? When they enter into prayer, one will draw virtue and power out. The second one enters, nothing comes out. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, in conclusion, what's this? Now, quickly say this in three. What, when you go to pray to God, what comes out that makes you now, you are now able to speak to things? You now can speak to things. Alright? And those things will respond. Quickly, let me just close with this here. In 2 minutes. So we take our confessions in. Now, what causes prophesying, or what you said, rivers of living water flowing out, or virtue and power coming on the inside of you? In Joel chapter 2 and verse 28, Joel 2 verse 28, it says, Joel 2 28, it says, and it shall come to pass that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall do what? Prophesy. Please see how the word prophecy always comes immediately after an outpouring of the Spirit. Now, look at Acts chapter 2, verse 16 to 18. Acts 2, 16 to 18. Acts 2, 16 to 18. It says, but this was that, when they said they were drunken with wine. He said, the wine drunken wine as you saw, but this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Next verse. And it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall do what? Prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Next verse. And then it says, and on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall do what? Prophesy. So you can see, the resultant effect of an outpouring of the spirit is to prophesy. Okay? They prophesy. The first thing they do is they do what? Prophesy. Once it's an outpouring of the spirit. Now, because of time, quickly, you know what you just said? Tarry. For them to get this outpouring of the Spirit, what did he say? Tarry until you be what? Endued with power from on high after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So what did they do? They stayed in one place. They were praising God, the Bible says, and singing. And then they were offering up prayer and supplication. And they stayed. And when the Spirit was now poured out, they now began to prophesy. He said, tarry for the promise of God. Now, so when God gives you a promise, Right? When that woman touched Jesus and virtue and power came out, it's like an outpouring of the Spirit entered into her body. The Holy Ghost permeated her body. So when you go into that place of prayer on that promise, what God is going to do is pour out His Spirit into you for the fulfillment of that promise. That's why He says, "Is any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, out of his bed he shall do what? Flow rivers of living water." That outflow is the prophetic utterance. The inflow is different. So you know what Jesus did? Before He said, "Lazarus, come forth," He entered into prayer. Mark 11:23, He says, "Whosoever shall say to this mountain," He said, "but before you can go and say to this mountain without doubting, fulfill 11:24. Do you get what I'm saying? Remember Dorcas when she died. Peter had been taught, for want of words, the technology by Jesus. What did Peter do? He entered the place. He knelt beside her and stayed prayer. What was he waiting for? Once he felt the outpouring of the Spirit, he turned and said, "Dorcas, Tabitha, arise." If he never said, "Tabitha, arise," that prayer would have been answered, but the power would not have been released. The truth is, many people have gotten answers to their prayers, but they never prophesied. Do you get what I'm saying? Let me go back to singles. The husband showed up. God answered. You felt it. But you never said, "Wherever you are, in the name of Jesus, I command, come forth." You are waiting. Do you get what I'm saying? It's like Jesus praying for Lazarus to come forth, and then he's waiting. "Lazarus, when are you coming?" Or you can be saying, "I'm a virtuous woman, or a faithful man. I'm a success going somewhere to happen." Until you say, "Come forth." Do you understand what I'm saying? We have to get to that place where we get a release of the Spirit for commanding authority. Let me close by saying this here. That's one thing. Which story was I going to say? Novel Hayes. We are losing this truth in the body of Christ now. Okay? We are losing it. And Novel Hayes was saying, well, I'll give two examples. An entire church of 12,000 people were praying for somebody who had cancer, and he had an accident, he was going to die. And the wife of the pastor, they had been praying. She said, "I think we should call Novel Hayes. The way he teaches faith, we may get results." They called Novel Hayes, he flew into that place, he knew them. He went into that ICU unit, he had 5 minutes with the woman. He said, "Listen, 15,000 people are praying out there. Your husband is here, he's going to die." He said, "He's going to die if you don't do what I say." The woman said, "Well," he said, "do what I say or else he will die." Now, what he was saying was that the 15,000 people were getting a supply, but that supply was not entering that man's body. There's a science, I tell people, to eat. So he said, "Sit here and keep saying to your husband, because you are now one flesh, you have authority over his body. Say to him, you shall live and not die. You shall live and not die." Said, "Don't stop until he blinks." She sat down there. They told him, he had 12 more hours. "You shall live and not die. You shall live and not die." He said, "Say it and keep saying it. Don't stop." 3 days after, the man walked out with her. That's what we say here. There is drinking and there is what? Releasing. Many of us drink every day in prayer, but look on the outside and say what we read on Twitter. This country, you are prophesying. And you know, when you are talking negative, you prophesy. You are detailed. When you are confessing scripture, you are generic. "I'll be blessed." But when it comes to how bad things are, you call the price, how difficult it is. You describe it. It's a prophetic utterance. We see inside the scripture, what did they say? "This land eateth the inhabitants thereof." I don't think people say it about Nigeria today. It's a land that destroys the youth. It's a land that we read us with unbelief, but we don't know when we are saying it. Twitter cannot provide evidence for your future. The Bible is evidence for your future. folks, you are young people. I'm happy. Happy somehow. I'm not your own generation because your warfare is more than our own. No. Let me be honest with you. The warfare you people are fighting is more than the one we fought. Because there was no Twitter. There was nothing to bombard us with wrong information. If anybody will talk, listen to me. Back then, you can't talk negative of your country without people correcting. No, because nobody's doing that. Now, if you say something positive, they will drag you, as you say. You have to operate like an Esther in the king's court. You hide your identity on confession until my world is saved. Don't destroy your future. Do you get what I'm saying here? Don't be woke. That's what I'm saying. I say I'm woke. I'm woke. Don't be woke. You are not a free person until Twitter Nigeria has fought you. Then you are free. Because you don't owe anybody on social media anything again. Do you get what I'm saying here? You don't fear anything again. You can say your mind. Shout. God said that I may say. God said that I may say. Did God tell anybody it is over? No. Did God tell anybody you will fail? No. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to this message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SL Church NG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church.